Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, and also we have to do the house cleaning as the luck would have it, because we're moving out on September the 1st. We will be moving into a new place. I don't know who's where it is at the moment, because we just kind of have to be out of here by September the 1st, because everything's up. And, of course, conveniently, Sarah, my lovely, lovely girl, has unfortunately just gone on holiday, unpaid holiday, right at the moment that we get this news that we've got to be out. So we're going to be short, like, what, $700, I think? Something around those lines. So if anybody is capable of helping financially, or even helping to move, or if you have like a car or a truck or anything of that nature that you need to help move, many hands make light work, and it might only take like a few hours or something like that. And that's another thing along to the side. We also have some very, very freaky stuff going on in the Olympics. Now, has anybody else seen what I have seen? Have you seen that every single light stand on the top rim of that entire stadium in a 360-degree circumference is a giant triangle with a top of it, like a capstone, as lights, and the rest of it not lights? Does anybody else see the symbolism here? How the entire Olympic stadium is completely surrounded by giant Illuminati all-seeing eye light stands. You are literally bathed in the light. And every single shot of every single person in every single event on every single podium that they get up to, and the podium's also a bit of a pyramid too, there is these giant pyramids with the all-seeing eye giant freaking light displays in the background. Usually, because the cameramen are obviously, they know what good shots look like. I know what good shot looks like, and you want to frame them. So what you have is you have two giant pyramids of all-seeing eyes on either side of the person that you photograph in invariably every single mainstream media shot of an Olympian. It's, oh my God.
Do you see what I see? It's unbelievable. It's so in your face for fucking sake balls and swizzle sandwiches. Oh, my God. The symbolism's everywhere. It's beyond a joke. It's beyond a joke. It's put in the gate. And apparently opening ceremony is like, dude, have you seen Lord of the Rings? Have you seen frickin' Saruman's Pit underneath Isengard Tower? We ripped up all the land and turned it into some great underground disgusting foundry where he birthed these horrific-looking Uruk-hai orc-type thingies. That was like the opening ceremony. What are these people trying to do? I mean, come on, mate. Of course, everybody will have no idea what the heck is going on here. No idea. This stuff doesn't mean anything. It's got no power. Symbols don't have any power. There was no such thing as a swastika that led entire armies into battle. No such thing as a cross that swayed people's minds for generations. No such thing as a six-pointed star that people base and put on their flags and stuff like that. There's no such thing as a pentagram. You know, none of this stuff has any significance. Nothing whatsoever. Every single star and pretty much every single flag and every single country in the whole freaking world is like a five-pointed freaking pentagram star. How many five-pointed pentagrams are on the U.S. flag? Huh? Quite a few, I think, anyway. But people don't know any of this stuff. It doesn't matter to them, right? So that's why you can put giant Illuminati freaking all-seeing eye towers like in Lord of the Rings surrounding a bird's nest eggshell of an occult ceremony to Baal worship of Gog and Magog and Jachin and Boaz and whatever other Freemasonic frickin' Anunnaki transhumanist scumbaggery-ish type trash that they put in front of everybody. And it's in everything, in absolutely everything. You know, anybody ever watches a lot of TV or a lot of movies? I watch a fair amount of movies, and I'm analyzing this, right? And it is very, very difficult. Let me assure you, if you're watching any movie at any point, it is actually quite difficult, if you're looking for it, to not notice the introduction of a Masonic floor or an all-seeing eye pyramid. Even so much as DuckTales, starting to watch last night, they're going to get some kind of Egyptian thing. And what do they bump into on their way? Well, a giant pyramid buried in sand, but all that's left of it is the tip of it, which is a small-looking pyramid about the size of a rock or something like that, with a giant all-seeing eye at the top of the capstone. I mean, come on. It's a kids' movies. It's all over the television. It's all over the news. It's all over the everything with this occult symbolism stuff. And of course, people don't want to talk about it because it's a little bit of left field. You know, granted, it's a little bit difficult to imagine that your leaders are actually satanic, worshipping, blood-drinking, baby-sacrificing, rapist, child-molesting, drug-running pimps and protégés of Satan and all of that stuff. It's hard to believe. But it's difficult to find evidence to the contrary, is the thing. Okay? How do you explain? Nobody can come up with a reasonable explanation why every single television show and every single movie has either a Masonic floor or pyramid reference in it. Nobody can explain that. I mean, how many times do you see Masonic symbolism and pyramids and stuff when you're walking around every day? If you're not looking for them, you never see them at all. If you are, you also see them everywhere. So is it possible that society is actually just so saturated with this symbolism, just in the real world and everything like that, but people aren't even aware of it? It's not even on their radar or whatever. It's like perfectly concealed in plain sight. And everything has its own symbol, its own value, its own worth. And when you have massive amounts of people all dancing together, singing together, performing together in front of enormous crowds, and it's all televised and you've got a billion people watching or something like that,
and you're putting all this symbolism out there, do you think it has no power whatsoever? Do you think it has no influence, no sway whatsoever? Very, very subtly. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. Because I don't see anybody, you know, just, you know, going to Egypt and seeing, you know, great pyramids or whatever the hell, and then all of a sudden becoming rampant pedophile trafficking scum for the New World Order and dying core and things of that nature. No, it's not like that at all. It's not like a... And this is another thing. I really hate it when people, you try to explain something to them and they take it to a really, really far out irrational conclusion. Like, basically, try to explain the influence of Satanism or Freemasonry or symbolism or anything like that on television or people's daily lives is a stretch for a start. And the idea is to actually explain it a little and make it not quite so muddled and not quite so crazy. But, of course, people don't want to do that because they see it as so muddled and crazy already. They're not prepared to listen to any explanation. They would instead prefer to take it to an even crazier level, just to let you know how crazy they think you are. When in actual fact, it wasn't me or anybody else in whatever movement who exposed this stuff's idea to put this stuff everywhere. It just is. Okay? You can't argue with it. It is there. What does it mean? You don't know. If you don't know something, listen for a moment and learn a little more, if it's at all possible. I think that's a brilliant idea. There's a lot of research to be done on the symbols, what they mean, etc. But here's the upstart of it. Symbols, rituals, conduct energy. Any kind of energy, any kind of power or whatever. Now, regardless of whether or not you or I believe that this energy can be harnessed, because anybody who's been in a sports stadium or at a big music concert or something, you know that a whole big group of people in the air with their fists in the air at a Rage Against the Machine concert and 20,000 people fists in the air saying, "Frack you, I won't do it, you tell me?" That's got some real power. That's got some real sway. It maintains control over people with the spectacle, right? That kind of energy. The elite believe. No, I don't necessarily believe this. I think there might be some kind of truth to it. There always is. But the elite believe if they can get us to watch their rituals to a degree, they get to harness some of our energy, and it makes them stronger. And also there's a degree of I can show this in your face, and you don't even know what I'm doing, like a magician's trick kind of thing. You ever seen somebody with doing that mind control stuff, or making you think about a particular word, or something of that nature? Right? It's kind of like that. They can just put it in front of you, and you don't even know he's doing it, and then suddenly you've got this kind of download happening here. What's the influence of this? What's the origin of it? All-seeing eye of Ra, of the Illuminati, it could be the third eye. There's a lot of different references to be checking out here. But what I find is absolutely undeniable that if you lay up, say, an Olympic opening ceremony with occult literature, symbolisms and ancient stories and things of that nature, garments, particular types of costumes and what have you, you find that they all have very, very deep and strong occult meanings. This is what is doing damage to the human race, I believe. Is a constant saturation with occult symbolism within our media and within sports events and corporate logos and everything like that. It all has these deep meanings and things like that. That I'm sure that there must actually be a tangible influence, because there are evidence to the latter side of it. For example, people exuding positive energy, that seems to have effects. There was some kind of meditation retreat that took place in Washington, D.C., Washington, D.C. being the murder capital of the world, also, incidentally, the center of a whole bunch of politicians who have a very nasty and murderous bedtime habits, and also the Pentagon got caught with a whole bunch of kiddie porn and what have you. But we won't mention any of that. Okay. The murder rate, highest in the world, and a whole bunch of people, I think it was like 3,000 or so, turned out to meditate to bring down the murder rate by 30%. Okay. Chief of Police, D.C., says, that never happened, all right? You'd need 6 feet of snow to bring the murder rate down like that. So they did their meditation. 3,000 people just closing their eyes, focusing, and just collectively coming together to bring that murder rate down just by thinking about it. And it did. So if there is a positive influence that people can achieve through collective meditation, then I believe, and there most certainly must be a negative influence able to be emphasized on people witnessing mass ceremonies through televised or even in the middle of it. You have a look at people like Jay-Z or Rihanna, and an obscene amount of Masonic symbolism all over the place. Jay-Z openly supports David Rockefeller. He even created a clothing brand dedicated to the Rockefellers called Rockerwear. Okay? And it's not hard to research any of this stuff. People need to really kind of think about it. The world is not all candy, wine, and roses, ladies and gentlemen. There is a lot of shockingly sharp shenanigans going down at all times, whether you believe in what the elite believe or not. Their actions do have an effect on you, and you may not be aware of it. It may not be measurable, but I'm personally certain that there is something there. We'll be right back after the break. 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Man, all the listeners that listen to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, you must be the brightest listeners in the world, because it's the best network there is. We'll be right back. Strung it with guitar strings and played it. All right, I don't care who, this is what Bill Hicks said. I don't know, any Van Halen, anybody else, these soulless pathetic copier piece of crap. All right, okay, Jimi Hendrix played his own thing. Now we're going to go to, speaking of his own thing, we're going to go to Lisa from East Texas. Lisa, welcome.
Hey Benny, long time no talk, good to hear your voice.
I heard you call into Chris Green's show the other day, and I was like, why hasn't Lisa called me in a while?
I think I've just been busy at this time of day. I'm sorry. I know, and sometimes I just like to listen. So but it's not because I don't love you. So.
Well, you are a mother, aren't you?
I am.
Far be it from me to impose and put more responsibility on today's mothers.
That's okay. We have big hearts. Mothers do, you know, but that's how we're made. Yeah. So, hey, you were talking about the Olympics Illuminati symbolism. And, you know, speaking of the light, you know, there are also 13 of those lights. Exactly 13. And so that's good. That's a nice little Illuminati symbolic number. And you forgot to mention the humongous phoenix bird. it's just everywhere. And, you know, that there is a good article on, I don't know if you've ever seen the truthseeker.co.uk. They have some really, you'd love that site. It's so up your alley. They have some great kind of just off the beaten path authors and some, you know, but some really good stories about what's going on in the world too. You'd like it. They have the good and, you know, good interpretation of the symbolic aspects of the ceremonies. So yeah, it is a creepy thing. The other thing I was thinking about the Olympics, you know, I think it's fun to watch some of the events, and it is amazing what human beings can do. And the degree to which they can push their body and achieve, you know, these, you know, almost perfect movements. But, you know, I was thinking, wouldn't it be so fun, instead of seeing what they can do to, you know, achieve something for themselves, wouldn't it be great if they could have an Olympics where they have competitors who have to see how many people they can help in 5 minutes? And get scored on their measures of success. I don't know. I just think, you know, we're so in the performance.
We're a truth or Olympics. Who can expose the most scumbaggery in 100 meters of Wall Street?
Well, you would be beyond Michael Phelps at gold medals, Vinny. I think you would. That's a great
absolutely.
Idea.
I'd get caught with a bong, too.
Oh, gosh. Well, humanity is so about performance, and we're missing so much of the richness of life by focusing on, I'm not condemning the athletes. I mean, you have to do something with your time and your youth, but, you know, it would be so neat to put as much emphasis worldwide on what we can do to help other people. I guess I'm in that kind of mood today, so...
Yeah, you understand how attention should be focused on other areas where other than where it currently is. And you know how a lot of truthers were kind of talking about how there might be some kind of a event happening at the closing ceremony or the opening ceremony or sometime during the Olympics or some kind of terroristic threat or some kind of false flag operation, right?
Yeah.
And everybody's talking about it all over the place because the Olympics is really big. Even for non-truthers, the Olympics is really big. And for truthers, it's been like this whole crazy kind of fiasco about, oh, my God, they've got troops on the streets. They've got missiles and stuff like that on the towers. And, you know, it's like a huge police state exposure to us. And I'm kind of thinking to myself, I wonder what kind of stuff was going on in the background while the Olympics was going on, that while we were focused on it and this false flag talk and what have you, that we missed.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I read an article before the opening ceremonies, and I can't remember the author, but he brought up a really good point. He was basically writing about how, you know, there's so much talk on the truther, you know, and the truth news, alternative news about this false flag, you know, potentially happening and the rumors thereof. And he said, we've got to be careful because this could very well be a psyop, kind of a cry wolf type thing, you know, to get people to be all expecting a false flag attack. And then when it doesn't happen, oh, well, you know, I guess these things don't happen. Well, we'll just go, you know, about our way and not, you know, not pay attention anymore. And just to kind of wear down the conspiracy. You know, those that do see conspiracies and do tend to follow them, to maybe discredit them a little bit, and then to and then make something, well, that was nasty, that didn't happen, that's just crazy. So, you know, kind of a discrediting act. Who knows? Or maybe something did.
Well,
maybe they just didn't do it because there was too much exposure to that. It would have been too obvious.
I have I had a conversation with my my mate Will Ryan last night. Actually, there was this dude who drove a Holden Vectra, you know, a station wagon car, into Cuba Street, which is a pedestrian mall. You know, you can't drive cars in there. This is like in the capital city of New Zealand, right, in Wellington. Pedestrian mall, people walking all over the place, and he has propane tanks, gas cans and stuff like that in the back of this car, and he lights it on fire. Do you have any idea how big a boom a propane tank can do? You can level a half a city block with that. And you know what this guy's beef was? He was talking about fractional reserve banking and how it's the root of all the evils, as he's about to blow up a half a city block. Stop it, freaking psyop, man. Luckily, New Zealand is not only called the fire department, but they grabbed their restaurant's fire extinguishers and went out there and put it out.
Oh,
you know,
gosh.
Long before emergency services ever turned up, the restaurant owners are just like, this guy's setting a freaking car on fire in the middle of the street. What the hell? And you know what's funny about this? This happened like months and months ago, and nobody's freaking heard about it. Like, the video's got like 45,000 hits. But I never heard about it till now.
Yeah, and wow.
I mean, that's a huge freaking thing.
It is. And, you know, that's just too obvious for somebody to talk about the Federal Reserve, fractional reserve lending banking system, and then, you know, correlate it with a, you know, explosion. I mean, that's not going to be the way something like that happened. And well, it wouldn't be. I mean, we're not trying to do that. The people that are trying to expose that truth. I mean, that's silly. But, you know, it's happening insane. So often. You know, every week.
That's freaking terrorism. That's actual terrorism.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is,
this guy,
it's happening.
I'm sorry, Lisa. We've got to go to our next
question. No, go ahead.
But this guy was so freaking, like, he was well treated by the police. Like, you know how you expect people to be slammed to the ground and treated real roughly or anything like that? No, the police were just like having him nicely standing up, handcuffed and stuff like that. And he's saying, I want to move away from the car. I want to move away from the car. That it's going to explode and stuff and stuff like that. It's like, my God.
Oh,
that guy should be in jail for like ever. That is so freaking dangerous. That is so irresponsible. Unbelievable.
Yep, we're having shootings every week now. You know, we just had one in Texas yesterday. And, you know, and it's just, and apparently, I read that at the Sikh temple, apparently, conveniently, the security cameras weren't on during the shooting. They just magically weren't on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And conveniently, the Batman shooter also, his daddy worked for the NSA, allegedly. Lisa, thanks for your call.
Thanks, Sydney. We're going to talk to you later.
See you later, love. Love your call. All right, and we've got our next caller in, area code 570. What's your first name and place you're calling from?
Hello, my name is Chrissy McMahon, and I'm calling from Bensalem, Pennsylvania. How are you?
I'm good, Chrissy. You are our guest today, and I'm glad you managed to call in. We've been trying to connect you on Skype and calling your home line. No response.
Absolutely. I fell asleep. I wasn't feeling well today, and I've been working a lot of days straight, and I passed out, and I am so sorry. But I'm so glad you took my call.
You sound awful, like you just made out with David Rockefeller.
David Rockefeller? Yeah, it would be sick, huh? Oh, my.
You know, you got something caught in your throat, darling, like a maggot.
Oh, no. Here they're calling me on the line. Hold on.
All right, hang up your phone, love. Love, that's us calling.
I look like I went on the thing. Hello.
All right, so have you hang up your phone then?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Well, welcome to the show then, Chrissy. Glad to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Benny.
Well, tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do.
Hi. Well, I'm an ordinary person, I guess, who woke up one day and realized that the world wasn't what I thought it was, and things weren't really happening the way I thought they should. And I tried telling people, mostly my family, and ended up alienating everybody that I ever talked to. And finally just got frustrated and started my own radio show. But basically, I guess I've always been a little bit intuitive. I've always been questioning the world and everything. And today I try to help people understand that there are problems, but there's also solutions. So I'm trying to get involved in making the world a better place. And from the political spectrum with the 9/11 fiasco, you know, and we don't really know the whole truth about that situation. But have gone from that to more of a metaphysical perspective and looking at our world in a way from a historical perspective, things that have come to light about how we came into being, how we're here as a species, you know, and what we're capable of, either individually or collectively. And it's just a wonderful experience. In the beginning, it was a horror. And today, I can say with joy that I'm so glad I'm here at this exciting time in our history. You know, I always thought that I was born at the wrong time. And it was just that I guess I was looking for what was happening now. And it was too early for me to be ready to do what I was supposed to be doing. So today, I have a radio show. I have Bopscious Pearls on Block Talk Radio, and I've really been neglectful.
Could you repeat that?
I said I have a radio show.
What's the name? The name of the radio show?
Bopscious Pearls.
How you spell that?
B-A-B-C-H-A Pearls. Yeah. P-E-A-R-L-S. I'm Polish, and the name for grandmother is Babcia. So, one day I was talking to my sister, and my sister just said to me, she says, you know, Babcia means love in Polish. And I said, oh, I love that. That's so beautiful. So it just kind of just stuck with me. And I've kept that, and I kind of have a moniker on here. It's Babcia means love, which is what it means. And I've interviewed some really interesting people. Some of the things that I've been interested in have been medical intuitive healing. I spoke with a woman named Jan Merle who does that. And she also has meditations that she does online. She hasn't scheduled one yet, or I'd give you a date for that. But she's very interesting. I've gone to a lot of conferences and done a lot of protesting, and I've met some interesting people. I got to meet Suzanne Taylor, who does the Crop Circle documentaries, One on Earth, and she's become a friend, and she's a really interesting woman. I've also interviewed Roxy Lopez from The Truth Denied, who's also on American Freedom Radio. And she's a really wonderful woman. She's been politically active for a long time, and she focuses a lot on chemtrails, but she also does a whole lot of other things. So these women that I really admire and really do interesting things.
We're going on to break now. As they say in Poland, ain't that a Bob Shebang? We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. I want to jump it.
Just in time, head down the 405. Gotta meet the new boss by 8 a.m. in the car. The wife is working hard. She's running late tonight again. Well, I know what I've been told. You gotta work to feed the soul. But I can't do this all on my own. No, I know I'm no Superman.
But laser beams do shoot out of my eyes when I see somebody with the name Rothschild. My special guest is Chrissy McMahon. So I'm Vince, and she's McMahon. But I don't think there'll be any wrestling going on here. But anyway, getting back to it.
Anyway.
Yeah. because you came late, we've only got one segment more with you. So... actually going to talk about self-censorship a little. I'm not sure if this will actually work, but here we go anyway. You know how everybody self-censors a little, you know, maybe if we're on radio or something like that, just as free to just openly just spew forth what's right in our minds. You know, we package it, maybe self-censor a little bit. There's certain topics that we don't talk about with certain people, that kind of thing. Like, we think the host might judge us, or the audience might not quite get it, comprehend it, whatever, might think we're a bit nuts. So if there's anything of that nature that will allow people to explore you and kind of see the nuttiest thing you could ever come up with, here's the place you can do it, where you won't be judged and you will be comprehended.
Well, too late for that, Vinny. I like I said in the beginning, I've alienated myself from almost everybody, but fortunately, we live in a very loving world. I mean, we might grow up thinking it's not that wonderful, but it is. And my family took me back, and some of them have come around and seen the error of their ways and the truth of what I was saying. And a lot of it is really hard to swallow, so I kind of understand that. I accept that, you know, we live in some horrible times and we live in the most wonderful times. But, no excuse for keeping your eyes closed or keeping your head in the sand. You know, let's wake up and really look at what life is really about, and then let's move on from there and do wonderful things. So I'm not sure really what you wanted me to say, but I'm hoping that, and that this was pretty much what I was going to say next, was when I was in Ecuador, I met Andrew Norton Weber, and I gave you his email address, and I'm so hoping that you signed him up to be one of your guests, because he's...
Andrew Norton Weber? Don't you mean Alfred Lamont Weber?
I know. When I met him, too, I said, aren't you famous? And he goes, no, that's Andrew Lloyd Weber. and I said, oh, well, I think he's dead or something. But anyway, he was a poet or something. But Andrew was an artist. But he also is a big proponent of what we call distilled liquid. And I'll let him talk about all that since I don't have any time. But if there was anything I could say, I always say we need to learn how to love and we need to learn how to forgive. And right now, I guess the biggest thing I'm researching is intention and how important it is to feel within your heart the Isaiah effect by Greg Braden. If anybody can watch that video. And understand that what we really feel with our emotions within our heart is what we can create in this world. And if we're full of fear and anger and hate, then we're going to get more of the same. And I love Michael Tesserian. He's one of my favorite people. I know people talk bad. I think they talk bad about the people who are telling the truth. And but this, I just watched this morning again for the umpteenth time the Isaiah effect. And basically what he's saying in there is that when you pray, you want to pray from a feeling of gratitude that it's already been given. So it's not like we're wishing and hoping for things to happen or, you know, somewhere down the line it's going to materialize, that it's already here, and then feel it within your heart with all your energy. And you know, if we could just pass that on make people understand that's where we're at. That's really how powerful we are as human beings, as creatures of this universe, that we can manifest. But, you know, we're manifesting what we're feeling, what we're thinking. And if we stop watching the television and get more into ourselves and to our families and our, you know, in our neighborhoods, our communities, you know, we're going to create something awesome.
I was talking about this with my friend Jeffrey yesterday, and he was looking through this this book that I had here. I had had the guy on yesterday, Dr. John Bolio, talking about human tuning with tuning forks and stuff like that. And I thought about something. If frequencies and sound waves are all mathematics, and they're the basis of how matter is knitted together, how the body moves, how the brain cells react, and things of that nature, that must mean that your DNA is also some kind of a music sheet, you know, like those little things that you put in the piano, the little spool, and you just keep pressing the little pedal, and it plays on its own, and a great tune comes out. That tune is you. And I thought to myself, he's got this tuning fork here that's like a particular resonating field, like this one here, it's like 384G, for instance, or there's many others, numbers and names. What if you could find your specific frequency, something that activated all the music, all the notes of your entire DNA, and released all the potentials within your body?
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Maybe it is love. Maybe that's the vibration.
Well, Tessarian also speaks of this, that fear and love actually do produce two very specific and distinct vibrations that do have an effect on unlocking DNA to a degree. Like, what was it? If you have a DNA chain and it's like a little line, you know, like on a little line graph, how you have the little, like the climate model things, how some of them go below the line and some of them go up above the line, as a little kind of jagged thing going along the thing. And if it's like nice and jagged and really rapid up and down, that kind of thing, that's love. It's a very intense and rapidly pulsing energy. And as it moves along the line, every time it bounces up and down and touches the line, it's activating a new thing. Whereas fear, on the other hand, a very low resonating frequency, has long, flat, undulating curves, kind of like oceans and seas and waves and things like that, and it has very, very little contact with the line of your DNA. So, in essence, it prevents activation of your DNA.
Right.
So I don't even know if I had a point there, but I thought it was interesting.
Maybe I threw you off when you were talking about tuning forks, and I said, "Well, maybe the love is the frequency." So, but I believe that I believe we create our reality, and you created yours. You made this wonderful radio station, and you invited me on here, and blew my mind. You know, I probably was like so overwhelmed that I just passed out. And then I came to and realized, well, this is your opportunity to shout out that, you know, just not wake up, because you can't force people to wake up. But hey, you know, we're here to help. If you want to understand, you want to know what's really going on, we're more than happy to share our understanding of what we know. You know, we don't know everything, but what we do know is pretty scary, but.
Yeah. I thought it would be pretty funny. What if we did actually force people to learn the truth, like the way state schools force people to learn the truth? You know, like cluster up all these adults, rip them away from their children, and stuff like that. Make them force them for 6 hours a day into this stuff with class schedules, with heavy backpacks and stuff like that, and poor selection of healthy foods at the tuck shop lunches. And it's like, okay, you have to watch an Alex Jones documentary. You have to see Loose Change. You have to listen to this. Watch David Icke. You have to. Everybody in there. You know, there's so freaking many that you'd actually be in school all day for years. Like, it'd take you literally years of watching documentaries and reading articles as your classroom work all day, every day, you know, with little breaks and stuff like that. You can go out on the court and play handball or something like that. Maybe some of the other truthers will tease you or something like that. Oh, he hasn't exposed any scumbaggery. What a loser.
My God.
I don't know. I like the idea of a truther school cancelling out the current schooling system. It makes me feel happy, because school really sucks.
Yes, you're right. And, you know, we can change all that. We can change it with our intention. And you know, people are doing that. We don't hear about all the wonderful stuff, but radio shows like yours, you know, we're getting the message out that things are changing. There's opportunities, there's solutions, there's people who care, and there's people who are doing wonderful, wonderful works to try to make the world wonderful for themselves and everybody else. So, you know, the world is a safe place. It is a wonderful place. Despite what you hear on the evening news, they lie. You know, when you have a cartoon video created that takes, you know, probably weeks and months to put together, and it's instantaneously available when some situation arises, like recently there were some people attacked in Afghanistan or something. They had this video. I just caught it. I walked in the room of one of my individuals where I work, and keep going. But anyway, TV Live, Vinny Eastwood, people like us, tell the truth. Keep doing it. Thank you, Vinny. Thank you so much. Awesome.
Thank you, Chrissy, for joining us today. And if people want to see more from you as well, what do you need to do? You need to search the Bobsha something on Blog Talk Radio. Bobsha's
Girls. Just punch in.
Bobsha Pearl. Okay. So just good. Like Bob's your uncle, now Bobsha Pearl.
Bobsha's Girls. There you go.
Yeah.
Come on our Facebook, Chrissy McMahon. Thank you.
Chrissy McMahon. Okay, I'm Vince, she's McMahon, but there's no wrestling going on here. We'll be right back after the break, hopefully with Casper Leach from Time for Hemp, so get your bongs ready. We'll be right back. Fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated and allegedly Fukushima irradiated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, where the largest Masonic lodge and the beehive literally are on the same premises. speaking of which, we were talking about symbolism and stuff like that before, but I wanted to switch gears a little bit in the ode of Casper Leach and what have you, because there's a lot of stuff going on about the drug war all over the place that people don't kind of realize to a large degree. You know what? And that's another thing. Have you noticed how every truth is whinging about how other people just don't get it and it's real hard to wake people up and all of that kind of stuff? Everybody's whinging about that. For frack's sake, nothing's changed, okay? You've never been able to wake anybody up, have you? The best you can do is maybe give somebody a few clues or something, and maybe a few years down the track or something, they might actually start researching into things and become a truther. That's the best you can pretty much hope for. That's what happened to me. That's what happened to you currently, probably. You know, most of us got woken up by ourselves, okay? Watching other people's materials, actually taking the time that it takes to get informed. And so if you want to have a bit of a whinge or something like that about how hard it is being a truther or whatever, please call in. This is the Counselling Truth Show, you know, 218-339-8525, 218-339-8525 is the number to ring in. And we have lovely people in the chat room there. And just recently now, I've been having
a lot of people kind of showing up to help, and we're going to be getting some new stuff built on the website, new products coming up, and well, one in particular, Charisma Designs down here in New Zealand, run by one of the probably one of our most fabulous listeners, Ange and her hubby Baxi. They lost a huge amount of shops. I think it's something like 15 shops or something like that that were selling their products that got taken out when the Christchurch quake hit. So what I want to do is be able to build a shop on site on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com so that people can see some of these amazing necklaces and earrings and all this other really beautifully handcrafted New Zealand-made stuff that you can give to people for birthdays or Christmases or whatever. It's really, really nice stuff, man. Like, I'm quite surprised by it personally. But that's the whole point about it, I think. We have to sort of support other truthers, even if they don't have, like, survival products or, like, ways to get off the grid and stuff like that, because most truthers are just normal. As my guest in the previous hour, Chrissy McMahon, said, I'm just an ordinary person and this and that, ordinary business people too. We need to support them because we have an awful lot of big, hyped up New World Order made trash all over the market, that kind of thing. And they've got all the advertising revenue they need, and they've got all the big TV networks and all of that kind of stuff that they can advertise through. But yet, when we're talking about making a headway in the movement, I think it actually really does stem down to the fact that we have to bring back what made America great and what made the world great and what enabled people to actually build fortunes based upon their creations and hard work and patents and things of that nature, which is to encourage entrepreneurial spirits, encourage people who have their own businesses, encourage people who are actually responsible, who do their things ethically. And it doesn't matter whether they're a grocery shop owner or a jewelry designer or a gold salesman or anything of that nature. If you know 9/11 is an inside job, and if you want to see that the New World Order fails, then you should be receiving support from local truthers or whatever in a business network capacity. And when we're on the radio or we have websites and things of that nature, we have the ability to offer advertising space and a place for them to get an audience that actually knows what they know, who cares about what they care about, and actually does want to support that kind of thing. So I'm doing that, all right? We've done what am I working on now? We've got the Vinnie Eastwood Social Network. That's really, really fun. So if you want to join the Vinnie Eastwood Social Network, you send me an email with your Skype address. And also, there's been a number of people who have sent me emails and signing up to the Vinnie Eastwood social network so that they can perhaps meet up with people in their area, things like that. So we have, if you're listening in from New Zealand, we have a guy named Andrew in Hamilton who wants to, you know, hang out with other truthers and stuff like that. He likes the subjects of 9/11, 7/7. He likes Lindsay Williams and David Icke, and he calls into mainstream radio on occasion. In Brooklyn, we have James. He's a.k.a. the Stony Brother Band, and he loves weed, freedom, rock and roll, and sci-fi. So if you're in the Brooklyn area or something like that, send us in an email. And that kind of thing, we'll hook you up with James. We have Jason in Monte Cello, New York. And no interest there, but if you're in Monte Cello, New York, or near Sullivan County or something like that, please email into the show. I promised that I would read out these people. And also we have John in Tauranga here in New Zealand. And in fact, we had a couple of other people from Tauranga call in for the social network. The whole point of this is, and every day after the show ends when we're live, we have a Skype call, group Skype call. You're either on the Skype call or you're not. You know, it's a little Skype group, and we haven't yet reached the limit of the amount of people we've had on there. I think at one point we had like 26, 28 people, and it's still not the maximum. So we want more people on there as much as possible. I've got a paid Skype account, so it allows me to have huge amounts of people on the call. And what we found is that I don't even need to actually be on the call a large amount. And people will be talking to others, and they'll be meeting up, and they'll be having Skype calls of their own, and they'll be making new friends and things like that. It's about your voice being out there. Because we've got a listener in Trinidad and Tobago, One Man Outfit, who's a real amazing guy, talks about lots of real interesting stuff. And he just sits there and he actually kind of talks with us all night a lot of the time. Sometimes the calls last up to 5 hours. It's like the real show after the show. And we have radio show hosts that are friends of mine, and sometimes people like Freeman or whatever sometimes drop into the call for like 25 minutes or something like that if they've got a announcement to make, or if people want to ask them questions. You know, it's a lot of fun, and I encourage people to do that. Man, go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, the chat room, or just search Vinnie Eastwood chat room on Google. Do it now, and join us in the chat room there. And as soon as the show ends, at the top of the hour, I'll put in my Skype name in there. And you can add me on that, and I'll add you into the Vinnie Eastwood social network group. Okay? That's what we're going to do here. Now, also, there is an announcement I've just received from Steve Hart from Viewfinder magazine. If anybody's ever heard of that, he's a former BBC reporter and now a 9/11 truther. And he's just asked me, can I mention Power Struggle? .co.nz. That's powerstruggle.co.nz. Where he's setting up a new website about smart meters, and a lot of people have been coming at me about this particular smart meter thingy, because it's really starting to kick off here in New Zealand now. We also have a very big need. If anybody's listening right now who has any slight construction or just basically practical skill and a few tools and what have you, we need people to build smart meter blockers. Okay, they will be manufactured here with the same designs as the smart meter blockers as they have in Canada. And it just basically is a little a cover to go over your current meter that doesn't damage the current meter, and it has a little window in it so that you can still see the readings, so you're not breaking any laws, but it also prevents you from getting a smart meter, because they the people who are installing them do not have the tools on them to remove any such smart meter blockers, and also it's illegal for them to tamper with private property or things of that nature anyway, because they'd actually have to cause some form of damage or alter your personal property, which is that smart meter blocker. So hopefully somebody will be out there and be able to message me in who might be able to pick up that contract for us at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com as well, because it is really hotting up, okay? I just got word that a mother, 5 kids, and she's 6 months pregnant, refused a smart meter, and she got her power cut off for like 6 weeks. That's some sick frickin' Shiite Muslim going down, man. I am not, and I'm deadly serious about this now. Okay, to be honest, up until a few days ago, I thought that I'd covered the smart meter issue on. You know, I'd had Devi Kidd on and a whole bunch of other people, even Roy Harlow from down in Hamilton on rushfm.co.nz. He came on and started talking about the smart meters, and he's found a way to just simply get some sort of chicken wire mesh or whatever around the smart meter, and he found that his headaches and stuff like that started to go away. But this fight is only just beginning. This fight is only just beginning. And I want to actually bring Steve Hart on right now, if we can, if the studio brings him on. That'll be pretty cool to talk about this, because we're actually really starting to mount a local campaign. I think Steve's really kind of starting to take the helm on this. I'm kind of grateful for it, to have somebody of his experience and expertise, because, man, look at it this way.
If somebody's prepared to cut off the power supply of a mother with five kids to feed who's got a fetus that's 6 months through its gestation, what the frack are you doing cutting their freaking power if all you really want to do is just install something that can allow you to tax their power more efficiently? Wouldn't you rather just keep the revenue coming in and maybe not put somebody in such a vulnerable position on such a razor's edge of fracking life? Huh? People got no conscience. And the difficulty is that you can't react to these conscious scumbags. Oh my, you can't actually react in a violent way to them, can you? Because then you'll be the criminal. Even though they're the ones, you know, doesn't really matter. Anyway, focusing back on the Vinnie Eastwood social network, also if there's anybody in Trollagon. What the heck is that? Trollagon in Victoria, Australia? Guy named John? Anybody around Victoria, Aussie, or something like that? I think Victoria is actually a rather large state, so preferably if you're near his neck of the woods, that'd be good for it. And also we've got Kate in the Philadelphia area. In fact, Kate, we can probably hook her up with Prince Truth Chaser and Mark Passio. In fact, we had this conversation about Philly just the other day, didn't we? On a previous show. About how I think we had Prince Truth Chaser on. He was talking about how he feels like he's the only one in Philly doing all of this kind of stuff. And before the end of the show, I'd already hooked him up with one of the listeners, Kyle, who lives in Philly, and also Mark Passio, who lives there. So, and now we're going to add Kate to that. So that will be four people that we've hooked up through this show. Do you see what I'm kind of getting at here, ladies and gentlemen? If you're reaching out for people, try and reach out for the people that were actually going to like be cool to hang out with and stuff like that. You know, have a filtering process. And you can be guaranteed, if somebody's listening to this show, okay, if they're a regular listener to this show and if they're willing to actually send me in an email with their general area that they're in so that I can hook them up with somebody or whatever, you can be guaranteed that that's a very genuine, cool, nice, fun truther to hang out with. And invariably, that's what happens. We have these Skype calls. The reason why they last so long is because everybody's getting to know each other. Everybody's having a turn at talking and listening and all of that kind of stuff. Some people don't even have microphones and they just listen in. And it's just basically a much bigger extension, a more real part of the radio show, as I said before. And we also have Muriel. In Trenton, New Jersey. So if anybody wants to hook up in Jersey, we have Muriel there. Make sure you pack your bulletproof vest. And we have Rob as well. I don't have a location for Rob, unfortunately. I think he might be in Auckland somewhere. And we also have Ryan in Missouri near Jefferson City. So if anybody's near Jefferson City, Missouri, and you want to hook up with a mate or something like that, just cruise on in. And we have Susie, who's in the UK, in Surrey. So if you're in the Uber Kingdom near Surrey, please send us an email in, and we can hook you up with Susie so you guys can hang out and stuff like that. Have a drink down the pub or something like that, you know. Nip around the corner for a butcher's. And also we have TC in Providence, Rhode Island, USA. And lastly, Tony in New Plymouth. So TC, Providence, Rhode Island, if you're in Providence, please send us an email. And Tony, if you're in New Plymouth, anybody else, please send us an email. I'll hook you up with him. So I promise that I'll do that and I'll get it out of the way. And other than that, if you've heard your name called out over this bandwidth, we will be able to add you into the Skype call after this show as well, so you can just talk to people on Skype at the very least from all over the world. Gives you some kind of perspective. And also we got a request from the listeners if there's anybody in South Auckland. It turns out that actually the biggest city in terms of listenership to the show and visitation to the website is actually Auckland, New Zealand, interestingly enough. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. The number is 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525. It's a little all over the place, but don't worry. We'll be right back.
black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise.
It's going to be a surprise, ladies and gentlemen, especially if it's full of barium, aluminium, and chromium, and strontium, and scumbagarium. In fact, I wonder if that would be quite an interesting element, don't you think, scumbagarium? It could tell you anything you wanted to hear, and it would always, always, always sap the energy out of any other element that you put it in contact with. Scumbagarium. Look it up. It's in the periodic table of scumbagarium. My very special guest, Steve Hart, is now joining us now, former BBC fellow. In fact, we were talking about an interesting story there, weren't we, about David Icke, and you were in your 20s when he came out. Could you tell the listeners what you just told me?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was in my 20s. David Icke was a popular football player for a mainstream football team, you know, Division One. I wasn't a big fan of football, of course, but, you know, he was a Division One football player. And then he came out and dressed completely in pink, I think, and said, "I'm giving up football and I've seen the light and you're all missing it and I'm going to spread the word and I've got the word on, you know, everything you need to know to change your life because we're heading for oblivion." And of course, he, you know, his notoriety made sure he was on the front page of every national newspaper across Great Britain, and he appeared most notably on a TV chat show, a bit like we have Campbell Live in New Zealand, perhaps a bit like
Oprah.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah, and it was. Hosted by a TV guy called Terry Wogan, who some people may know, and a very popular chat show. And he went on the show with Terry, live studio audience, and they just could not stop laughing at David Icke, openly laughing at him as he was trying to explain, you know, that he's changing his tack on humanity and he's now going to make it his life's work to help people understand the bigger picture. And you know, back then I just kind of took it at face value. Good on him. You know, he's welcome to his opinion, but he certainly caused an absolute stir, you know, across Great Britain when he kind of came out and said, "We've got to stop this, what we're doing, and think differently about how we treat the Earth."
We really do. And he looks back on all of that now, allegedly, that basically that was the thing that taught him the most about how humanity really is and how you kind of get picked on if you stand out and stuff like that, but how you still survive it anyway. So one man is actually much stronger than all the people who would ridicule you.
Mm. Oh, yeah. It's
And dig this. On the 23rd of October, he's filling Wembley Stadium.
Ha! Huh, I didn't know that. Fantastic.
Okay, they called him crazy, like, what was this, 20 years ago?
Yeah.
And now he's going to fill fracking Wembley Stadium. How about them apples?
I bet he didn't fill it when he was a football player.
Yeah.
But yes, that's great. I mean, and he's stuck to his word, isn't he? He's just stuck to his word, and you have to admire the man for what he's done. He's he's just taken a lot of aggravation and bullying over the years, and I think slowly, people are beginning to say, actually, he might have an idea, and perhaps we should just listen a bit more.
Yep. You know how everybody was like freaking out about the Olympics or freaking out about 2012 or freaking out about this, that, and the other? That's why I always stay away from predicting stuff. David Icke, on the other hand, the predictions he's made, most of them have come true.
Yeah, interesting guy. And hopefully.
And it was quite a pleasure to speak at his conference here in New Zealand as well. In fact, anybody wants to see that, just search Vinny Eastwood, David Icke on YouTube. You should be able to find it. I spoke at his conference. It was great. Now, what were we talking about? Smart meters. This new public. I told you about that lady with the five kids, 6 months pregnant, who got her power cut off, didn't I?
Yeah, the cockroaches. They should never have done that. They've got no business taking people's power away. Even if people can't pay the bill, they, you know, there should be a basic right to have power and water. I think it's a human right in this day and age. And just to cut someone's power off just because they fear the health effects or the privacy issues of a smart meter being installed, just disgraceful behavior. Obviously, some needle-nosed pen pusher doesn't know what they're doing.
Well, and it's on a par, I think, with the incident that happened a number of years ago where a Polynesian woman in South Auckland couldn't she was on a breathing machine or something like that, and they couldn't pay their power bill. And so without checking with the family in this situation, or maybe even just without caring, they cut They cut off the power and she died.
That's right.
Is your electricity bill that much more important than human life? You fracking scum.
Well, you got the shareholders to think of, Vinny. Must always put the shareholders first, and they need their.
If you ask any shareholder, is it okay if we kill innocent people here or there to make sure that your profit margins are up? Ask any shareholder. Most of them would say no.
I am sure you're right. And that's the madness of the financial system we have is that companies don't do what's right for their customers. They don't often do what's right for their employees. At the top level of any business, it's the bottom line, and the market forces them to deliver a profit to their shareholders. And every year, the profit has to be better than last year. And so the company has to find ways to cut costs and grow business. And so you could argue that the system is destined to fail because you can't, there's only so much pie. And once you've cut the pie up into a few bits, it will only go so far. And the only way for a company to make more money is to get a bit of someone else's pie. And then
that was the reason why the pilgrims and everybody escaped Europe to the New World, because the land was already all owned by the giant elite and royal families of Europe, and they had no choice. They were never going to be able to own their own means of production that way.
And so when it comes to doing business, if you don't pay your bill, you're a drain on that business. You're not contributing to shareholder wealth, and so you've got to go. And if that means killing someone, it appears to be, so be it. In the case to which you refer, which happened in South Auckland, as you say, a few years ago, but before we continue with that, systems have been put in place apparently to stop it ever happening again. The family didn't have English as their first language. They weren't properly able to communicate the situation with the guy who turned up to cut the power off, because he can do it from outside the building. He didn't have to enter the house to go and cut the power off. And
apparently he was let in the house and he saw the lady on the breathing machine and stuff like that, saw that it was plugged into the wall. I don't think communication was an issue.
Thank you, Vinny. I didn't know that. That makes it even worse then, doesn't it?
Have you noticed that's the general rule of thumb? Whatever you think is really bad, it's usually worse.
Yeah, well, really, it's manslaughter then, isn't it? Involuntary manslaughter. That's what it is.
Yeah. Don't quote me on that.
if what you're saying is true, the guy went in and he saw the woman was on a breathing machine that kept her alive, and it was plugged into the wall, and then he knowingly went outside and cut the power off to the house. Well, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, because maybe he just didn't know whether or not she'd actually die. Like, maybe it was just like he thought, like, oh well, she'll be fine. They've got the that thing that they use in fireplaces. They've got one of those there. They'll manage.
That's right. Yeah, and of course she had. Their family had young children too. So it's just unconscionable, the behaviour, and just as bad with the family you mentioned, a pregnant lady with young children having her power cut off just because she refused a smart meter. And and I'm doing research. I'm no expert on smart meters, but I'm, as a journalist, I'm just doing all the research I can. And as far as I can see, no one has proven these smart meters to be safe in that they, you know, transmit quite powerful radio waves on the in New Zealand on the 2.5G network, which is like a hair below the 3G network, and pulsing every 15 minutes. And that pulse may only last for a second or a fraction of a second, but it's a huge pulse.
Well, doesn't it get repeated like 100,000 million times a day as well?
Well, that's right. What the power companies will tell you is that, don't worry, these smart meters only send a signal back to the power company for 20 seconds every day. And so you think, oh, okay, well, 20 seconds, you know, perhaps at 11 o'clock at night won't do too much harm. But then you actually find that, oh, no, that's the cumulative figure. It's every 15 minutes for, a second or two, which adds up to 20 seconds or so during the course of a day. So it's every 15 minutes, the householder. And it's in, and you've got to think, you know, particularly of the young and the elderly who are in the home 24/7, bombarded every 15 minutes with a pulse of, it's very similar to a mobile phone pulse.
This is why it's sometimes caused a lot of sleep problems with a lot of people, because it's very difficult to be asleep if you're kind of getting bombarded every 15 minutes and being jolted out of it.
Yeah, well, in doing my research just yesterday, I communicated with a lady who lived in New Zealand. She's a school teacher. And once a week, she would spend the day at home where it was nice and quiet, and she would mark all the papers for her pupils. And so she would spend the day doing that, and nice quiet house, no problems, and she would spend the day marking papers. Anyway, a smart meter got installed, and she didn't think anything of it. She was, you know, she got a notice saying, you know, we need to install a smart meter, you know, what we won't bother you and blah, blah, blah. So the smart meter got installed. A few weeks later, after the installation, she's finding she's getting headaches. And whereas before she could sit down for 4 or 5 hours and just mark her students' papers, now she can't concentrate. Her mind wanders and she's getting headaches. And, you know, every 10 or 15 minutes, her mind's drifting to something else and she just can't get the job done anymore. She does her research and figures, wow, the smart meter is causing me detrimental health issues. I can't work like I used to work. So she complained and did all she could to get the smart meter removed. But then she saw that her smart meter was next to five others at the end of the block. And so even if she got her one removed, well, there's five others anyway. In the end, the power company just plain blank refused to take away the smart meter and replace it with an analog one. I mean, companies still make analog meters. It is an option. So this lady did no more than... In essence, get on a plane, and she flew 5 hours across the Tasman Sea to Australia, and she's currently living in a house without a smart meter. Her health has returned. She can concentrate on what she needs to do, and she's fighting very hard in her patch of Australia to stop a smart meter being installed in the streets and the houses near where she lives. And that's just one example of the huge cost that some people pay just because the power companies want to sack some meter readers, save a few bob, and affect people's health in the process. And of course, apart from people's health, the next thing will be smart appliances. You will go down to the store to get a new fridge or a washing machine or a microwave, and one day soon, it may be 5 years or so, but you will only be able to buy a smart appliance, and that smart appliance will talk to your smart meter. And one day soon, you'll go and put on the washing machine to wash your clothes one night perhaps at 7 or 8 p.m. in the evening during what you might call the peak hours of energy usage. And you'll go to turn on your washing machine and it won't work. And it won't work because the power company would have deemed that you using the washing machine at 7 o'clock in the evening is not a good use of power. They would much prefer you do your washing at 4 a.m. or 8 a.m. when the load is much lower. And so suddenly people's lives will begin to change. They won't be able to do what they want.
Or if you're drawing too much power, like if you've got a heater going or something like that, or if you've got like 3-4 kids in the house and, you know, they're using a lot of power or a lot of water or something like that, they'll just say, sorry, we're only going to give you a specific allotted amount and that's what you're going to have to get by with. I mean, they've also got, they're going to have smart meters for water, smart meters for, they're going to have smart everything. You know, it makes you long for a time where the meters were dumb and the people were smart.
Well, yeah, I mean, and one guy I was speaking with yesterday, he's made a whole business out of this. He goes around to people's homes, and people familiar with feng shui will know that, you know, a house has to be facing in a particular.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. We'll have to talk about that after the break. We'll be talking about another spectrum of home design made by vampirical employees of the Rothschild Corporation called Feng Shui. As they figure out a way to best arrange the furniture, will they suck the blood out of your neck and out of your economy? Be right back after the break. This is the news.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. That song right there by Johnny Cash, I've Been Everywhere, Man. All the smart meter installers globally play that when they're... cruising through their big fans to install a whole bunch of deathly bathing radiation in your neck of the woods. They're just lovely. Oh, those freaking scumbags. And we've kind of highlighted the fact that you can block these things via physical apparatus, like with the smart meter blocker made by Guido in Canada there. And what he's been doing, and a lot of other people have been taking responsibility for, like let's say you're the person on the block that has a few grand spare or something like that, and it's not terribly much to you, but you know for a fact that if your entire block gets smart meters and you just protect your ones, but it doesn't make a difference because you're still going to get pulsed by your neighbor's ones, aren't you? So what's been happening in Canada now is there's been some people who've been coming in and they'll buy like dozens of smart meters and do their entire street, okay? Not only to just protect themselves, but also to protect their communities. And you have community collectives and things propping up all over the place. And, of course, this is interesting. The December 21st, 2012 is the date of what? Turns out it's the completion date for Canada's smart meter installation. Turns out it's also the completion date for the Pentagon's alleged world surveillance system, which is due to go online on December 21st, 2012. Also the stuff going, you know, am I the only one who sees something really, really freaky afoot here? Am I the only one who sees that they're placing a physical global surveillance grid to control your information and control your power supply and, in essence, control you entirely? Am I the only one that sees this stuff being installed? Am I the only one who sees there's a problem here? No, I'm freaking not. Am I, Steve?
You're not. There's two of us at least. I think we, in some theatres, and your listeners may know of these, you go to the theatre and they have installed systems whereby your phone will not ring, so you don't disturb people with your iPhone during a performance. I think if that technology exists for theatres and other public places, it must exist for the consumer. And I think we need to be looking at as that as an option. Perhaps we can install that in our homes and just block the transmission of our data from our homes to the world.
Or even do it secretly, okay? And let's say you had small-scale versions of that, like something the size of a hearing aid battery, for example, that you could place somewhere. Like, let's say you simply attach it to the power pole very close to a smart meter or something like that, and it'll dull that area. So in this way, you can covertly subvert every single reading that all the power companies are getting a whole bunch down the street. And if they're, in fact, you know, I think maybe some form of nanotech or whatever would be real cool, but I don't know, maybe out of my price range. But that'd be choice, don't you think, Steve, if we managed to disrupt all their readings for an entire street and they'd have no idea why? Waste your smart meter money, you lizard scum.
That sounds like a good idea. I think we've got to, you know, civil disobedience is non-violent civil disobedience. Mustn't get violent. I'm waiting for the guy to turn up at my house to install with his big fat smile and his screwdriver to say, "We come to put your smart meter on," and then I shall tell my wife to go and get my shotgun. It's not loaded, but I'll just say to her, "Jackie, really go and get my gun, please." And I live out in the country, you see. And we'll see what he does, because they are not going to put a smart meter on my property.
Have you put a sign on your smart meter that says, on your current meter that says, "Warning, placement of smart meter on these premises may result in shotgun buckshot in your face"?
Maybe a butt in the head. But yeah.
And then draw a picture of a butt.
That's it. I put up a sign saying, private property, no entry. But of course, the power companies do have right of entry. They have an easement on every property in the country, basically. So, but the private property sign is at least an indication that you're not welcome unless you're invited. And then,
you have to have something specific that says no smart meters, so that your intention is declared.
Yes, well, my intention has been declared forthrightly to everyone concerned at my power company, and and also I've stuck a silly sticker on my analog meter as well, saying no smart meter here. But they're going to turn up anyway. And
yeah.
I was speaking to a lady last week, and she felt quite helpless that a guy with a smart meter has been installed. She wasn't really happy with it, but she didn't complain. She didn't say anything, and now she's got it. She's worried and unhappy. And I think people have been conditioned just to do as you're told. And
you know what? A dog might be a good solution to that. A dog house by the smart meter with a very vicious, angry, mangy-looking dog from the pound or something like that. You know, just hook it up. And anybody who comes around smart meter, get the most vicious dog you can. No muzzle. Yep. Go for your life, mate. Try and install it.
I've got a vicious goat that will attack anyone.
How Luciferian!
They keep the weeds down, mate. Anyway, one of them is particularly vicious. I might let him go. He'll go and jab someone in the leg with his horns.
Yeah, I'll just tie him to the meter, mate. You know, make sure he's got some feed and a little goat house there or something like that. Maybe paint him red.
Oh, that's a good idea. Paint his horns red.
Yeah. And get some goat contact lenses from like Lord of the Rings set or something like that. So he's got like these reptilian goat eyes or something like that. Dude comes down the store, then suddenly there's this red horned goat with freaking reptilian scary android eyes looking at him kind of stuff.
I think you might do the trick. Good idea. But I think each of us has got to educate ourselves and decide what we're comfortable with and take a stand when necessary.
And find new and fun ways to ingest smart meter installers. But
Sorry. I don't mean to encourage violence. It shouldn't be. And obviously, I'm just joking, ladies and gentlemen. But the fact of the matter is, I think it's almost violent for somebody to come onto your property. It's criminal. It's violation for somebody to come onto property that is mine, change a piece of my property that affects the rest of it in perpetuity, can track me and give me cancer and possibly cause me sleep deprivation and heart palpitations and all the other stuff that's available to it, and there ain't nothing I can do about it? And people think we're free in this society? You're not freaking free!
And it's the privacy issue as well. You know, I believe that's of equal importance, and I think the health issues linked to smart meters is getting a lot of traction, and that's all fine and dandy. But you know, the smart meters haven't been proved to be safe. They haven't been proved to be good for you, and proving detrimental health effects of smart meters is hard, if not impossible. And we won't know, you know, the health issues perhaps for 20 or 30 years, like with asbestos in the 60s and 30 years later.
They already knew that asbestos was bad in the first place. They just censored all the material. We already know that the smart meters are absolute killers. Like, really, at the end of the day, that's the best thing that they could be called, and the best hope you can have is for them to kill you before you spend your entire life suffering under the radioactive fields in a sleepless night and make you go insane.
Yeah. Well, I honestly think that, you know, one day I will move house and I will go to buy another house. And normally, the first question I ask the real estate agent is, does the house have fast internet access? And if it doesn't, I'm not interested. It doesn't matter how good the house is or where it is. If it's one of those in New Zealand, then there's plenty of them that doesn't have access to broadband internet, I won't buy it. I can't buy it. But my next question now will be, does it have a smart meter? And if it does, I won't buy it. And I really, I'm asking people, you know, to ask that question. When they go and view a house, does it have broadband? Does it have a smart meter? If it has a smart meter, you walk away. As soon as things like that start happening, when people can't sell their houses because they got a smart meter attached, and that's when the markets change, is when people say, no, I'm not buying it. It's not acceptable. If you put an analog meter in, I'll buy it, but until then, I won't. That's when people individually get hurt because they can't sell their house, and that's when things will start to change.
Yep, that's called putting the anal into analog meter. All right, thank you very much, Steve, for coming on the show with us today, however nice it was in its brevity. And if you could please just plug your websites and ways people can contact you in future.
Sure, I've got two websites. One is about the documentary about smart meters, ourstruggle.nz. My personal website is stevehart.co.nz. Thank
you. All right, thank you very much, Steve, for coming on the show with us, and we'll put that stuff on the archives. And also, ladies and gentlemen, listening in the chat room or listening on the live streams, if you go Google Vinny Eastwood Chat, it should come up with the chat room there for you. Join us in the chat room, and we will actually grab your Skype name off there. In fact, I'll give you mine, and you add me, and we're all going to have a nice, long, good conversation after the show today. And Steve, if you want to join us, you can. See you again sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. Don't you go changing.